Welcome to the Leadership Trap Podcast, recording live from Austin, Texas. In this podcast, we explore the conditions that lead to surviving and thriving in a successful leadership role. We examine the traps that can cause leaders to stumble, bumble, or get ambushed in ways that may or may not be of their own making. I'm Dr. Chris Petrafka, and with David Hewen of Austin WorkNet, we have a conversation with each leader that explores the traps they've encountered throughout their leadership journey. Hopefully, it brings a new perspective to your role as a leader and helps you navigate your own way through the traps.
We recently had a brief chat with Silicon Valley icon Jimmy Tribeck here at The Trap. And we're fortunate to call Jimmy a friend of the Leadership Trap. I've known him for a number of years. He was chairman of the board for one of my client companies, Motion Computing. And we also had a shared love of racquetball, of all niche sports, but he and I have played that sport much of our adult life until the pandemic, which changed everything. Anyway, what makes Jimmy so profoundly interesting is the history he brings with him to our discussion. He was one of the technology visionaries and really represented some of the first major wave technology companies in the 70s and early 80s, companies like Microsoft and Apple and Compaq and Hewlett-Packard, soon to be followed by Dell. All of these were and still are household names. But in the case of Tandem, the company he founded, that was more of a behind-the-scenes solution in which their technology was to build out, design and build out fault-tolerant computers. In other words, computers that wouldn't fail. And as a result, industries like banks and the stock market took an interest, and the company grew rapidly. It was first on the scene for that type of dependable solution, right when computing power was about to take off, and there was a strong interest in setting themselves apart as an industry. Any company that wanted to set themselves apart within their industry, they would do that by having dependability of computing power. And Tandem was the solution of choice. So a great success story, but what makes them especially unique for our discussion today was the corporate culture that Jimmy was intent on building. For a fast-growing company, Tandem led the way, not only with their product solutions and innovation, but also innovation in the workplace. They were intent on having a culture that would attract and retain great talent. So they did things like flexible work hours, stock option plans for everybody. He wanted to look every employee in the eye and say, listen, you are part of the stock option ownership. You own stock in this company, and thus we all are in it together. Let's build a company of value. That message resonated at a time where few other companies were doing something as innovative as stock options for everybody. They had sabbaticals that they made available for employees after only 4 years of tenure. And they were big on promoting from within. So building out a unique leadership culture was integral to their ability to scale rapidly. And they did fun things like beer bus on Fridays. You know, now that's sort of a mainstay with so many companies. They had a swimming pool in the corporate office. So this was a fun, innovative place to work that people wanted to be a part of. And to this day, they have an alumni group that gets together virtually or face-to-face to talk about those heady days at Tandem. So let's learn more about Jimmy, his views on what makes companies great, the traps that leaders found themselves in decades ago that still matter to this day. So I look forward to reconnecting with our good buddy, Jimmy Tribeck. So let's talk about the Tandem days, shall we? I went back and looked at Something Ventured as just a refresher, and certainly recommend that movie to our listeners. A great way to get insights into the pioneers of Silicon Valley
and the earliest stages of what venture capital meant to getting technology off the ground decades ago and still to this day. So it's a great place to learn and also to see how venture capital came to be. And you were one of the key players in that with Kleiner Perkins taking a risk on Tandem. By the way, in the movie, there are a handful of pictures with you actually wearing suits. I just want to point that out with a tie.
I know, but Perkins made that real clear.
Yeah.
He said that he had to take me to Brook Brothers to buy that suit. So he paid for the suit before the trip to raise the money. And the richest man in America then was Hillman, Pittsburgh. And Perkins and some ventures tells how we walked in and he said, well, that's a very nice suit. And I said, well, Tom bought it for me.
Yeah, you just couldn't help yourself, could you?
Well, I like Tom. I love Tom. I mean, I worked with him for, as you know, he's probably the most famous VC ever.
Yeah, had quite the life. Yeah, and he left his stamp on the technology world in a big way. Silicon Valley back in the 60s, how raw and rugged and Wild West was it? It seemed like it was just a different time. And as you noted, there weren't a lot of people starting at companies.
Well, no one hardly was starting companies then. When I went to, I went to Rice, and then I was a salesman for TI, which was kind of a famous company then, you know. They put the first semiconductor in production. You may not know that. They were a petroleum company. And they were very foresighted thinking. And there weren't many startups. There weren't many venture capitalists. In fact, to start a company, you had to be like a PhD. Yeah. Not what a PhD. All my friends that went out there got PhDs. But I was a marketing guy, really. And it was when people decided they might do startups. Huh. And Tandem was kind of the first one that was like worth a billion. And so I paved the way.
And describe what made Tandem the right company at the right time with the right solution. What made the Tandem computer so significant?
Well, see, when we started at HP, Perkins started the computer company, the computer part of HP. It was not. It was an instrument company, and we grew very fast to 400,000, 400 million. I'm sorry. So he left to start Kleiner and Perkins, and I left to follow him. And the idea was that I would start a company. Well, when I was at Hewlett Packard, I was in charge of all marketing for commercial systems, and I had won some big orders like Holiday Inn. That was really big in that time to get big orders like that. And so I believed, and I could prove, if we started a computer company, we could build one that didn't fail, because the New York Stock Exchange had a failure every week. And when they failed, the data is destroyed.
Yeah.
And you have to shut the systems down, and it takes days to fix it. So you have broken data. And I could prove in the telephone and the newspaper business, place after place, I could prove that if we could build a system that didn't fail, we could build a billion-dollar company. That was the business plan.
Thank you. Yeah, when you became a founding CEO, because of your mix of a background, both engineering and sales marketing, what disciplines did you find that you relied on as a CEO to kind of inform your leadership style? Was there one discipline or the other that you leaned on more?
Okay, so I'm going to try a concept a little about leadership. Leadership doesn't come from one person. It comes from, and Tandem's famous for culture, still has sabbaticals. I mean, still has reunions. Every person is meant to be a leader. I mean, everyone's got to love their company and do and push in the same direction and care. Okay. So that kind of changes how you think about things. I still have a business plan where I showed it was a layout of how a company is successful, how every person matters. And we had to grow from 15 people to 100,000 people, and how all of us working together and believing the same and going in the same direction was critical. You can only hire so fast. And if people, you hire wrong people and you lose them, you can't grow people as fast. So our growth was limited by how fast we could all share philosophy. And so, and if you go back and look at the books from back then, of which Tandem was fairly famous because we were the fastest growing company in America, you'll find out a tremendous emphasis on communication. We put in place a real TV network. We actually won Oscars, and we automated Federal Express so they could send faxes, okay? So every Monday we had First Monday, and there you practiced your leadership. You know, what are our goals? How did we do? All those type of things. Powerful communication. Okay, so I'll just mention some of the communication things. We had we had the beer bust on Friday. Now, people may think that's to drink beer, but when you're in 40 countries and you have people come in from everywhere, how do you know one another? Well, everyone on Friday went to beer. And if you came in from Sweden, you were going to meet the development people, okay? So we had the beer bus. Then we had the tops. It's every single person in the company had a chance. Every category was equally, it's like the sales club, but it's for every person.
So when you were building a leadership team, I assume you grew some leaders internally, but you also, because of the rapid growth, you'd have to go out to the talent market and hire leaders. So what did you look for? What were the attributes that were critically important to bring in people leaders into Tandem?
That starts with the people that you start with. I mean, if you have really good people to start, then as long as each person only hires a person that fits our philosophy, which is hard work. I left one thing out earlier, reward. So every person's got to know they're important, but every 6 years they got a sabbatical because they deserved to be with their husband or wife. Everybody was a shareholder. Okay. Everybody.
You mean, even as you grew into the thousands of employees, did you still assert that every employee should be yes. 15,000, that was 15,000 shareholders. Everyone got some stock options.
Everybody got stock. Everybody got a sabbatical. Everyone had an equal chance for going to tops. When I got the job at Hewlett Packard, I was given studies from Mr. Hewlett. And I was like really young. And I went from there to marketing manager under Perkins. And then I founded a company, and I didn't have, you know, I had to learn the whole way. And I got to say, when I hired the first five guys, Wiegand had started the company himself. The two development guys had developed timesharing system, which was the foundation for HP's success. Every person was outstanding. And the key was listening and working as partners, as a group. I thought about the word leadership. What you want for leadership is for everybody to be on the same path, working together for the right thing.
Yeah.
And that's, the leader provides the framework, the presentations, if you will, the focus on pounding it. Every time you take a trip, you must have a town meeting if you're an officer at Tandem and tell them what's happening.
Yeah, this is back to the notion that communicate, be transparent, let people know where things stand.
And let them know benefit from us all doing right.
Yeah. You mentioned that you were committed to ensuring that everyone was a shareholder in the company. You know, it's not uncommon for companies to say, you know what, we're going to use our stock more as currency. We're not going to pay people as much from a paycheck to paycheck perspective. So we'll be a little under market on our cash compensation. We'll make them feel like they are building the value of the company through their stock holdings. Did you take a certain stance on compensation philosophy, Jimmy, one way or the other during the
Well, I had this philosophy, which I still believe in. The CEO should not make more than a certain number of times the lowest paid person. I kept that. And so our officers were paid fairly, but we also paid our workers fairly.
Thanks for spending some time on the leadership trap and providing a perspective of this wonderful life you've led and the impact you have had on so many people. That was a profound experience they had at Tandem, and it stuck with them.
Are you interested in the idea that leadership comes through every person being a leader?
In other words, do I subscribe to that notion that everyone is a leader?
Yeah, everyone has the capability and the motivation to do what's right.
Well, how could I argue with that?
I never expressed it that way.
Yeah. Well, I think you express it very eloquently. Well, Jimmy, thanks for providing your perspectives today.
Thanks for listening. Do you know a leader who could benefit from hearing about the leadership trap? Well, we hope you will share this podcast with them. And remember, give the podcast a 5-star rating. Every rating helps us reach more leaders. You can find us at theleadershiptrap.org. Okay, we'll see you next time. And until then, stay out of those traps.